Thanks for listening to the Revival Today podcast with evangelist Adalys Shuttlesworth. To stay connected, check us out on Facebook and Instagram or online at revivaltoday.com. Now, here's evangelist Adalys.
So I've got the background. You people on podcast, you can't see, but we have the background podcast thing as a snowy winter's day, because that's exactly what's happening outside. It's like snowing really pretty decently in my neck of the woods. Anybody else? I mean, it's pretty much snowing all across this nation, but in Pittsburgh, this is the first snowfall of the year. So we are just welcoming it. We are embracing it. We are currently decorating the office, but we're having a really crappy time doing that because me and Mags, when we were cleaning out the storage, how's everybody doing? When we were cleaning out the storage, we started doing the Puerto Rican thing. And if you don't know about the Puerto Rican thing, it's when things go astray, when things begin to get so chaotic in your storage closets, something snaps on the inside of you and you no longer want these things. Maybe they were little keepsakes and, you know, little heirlooms that have been passed down. It just doesn't matter at that point. When you're spring cleaning, all you care about is organization and cleanliness. And so me and my sister, it pretty much went a little nuts on disposing a lot of our Christmas decor. So we are left with trees without bases. We have just, you know, things that don't even work, decorations that they don't even match. And it's 100% because we cared more about what was, I think we threw out like brand new Christmas trees. I hate to say that, but I just can't find anything. Nothing's going, and I'm not happy about it. So we've got a couple of Christmas trees which are broken. How about that? They don't even have the base. They don't have lights that work. Listen, if you're anything like me and you want to do Christmas decor, I want pre-lit Christmas trees. Please, I don't want, especially, we're talking about a 9-foot Christmas tree here. I don't want to go around and wrapping lights around that. I don't know. That's not my life. I don't want that. So pre-lit is the way to go. And all of a sudden, these pre-lit trees, they are not working. And I'm not about the life of trying to figure out which light. If that's you, congratulations. Listen, you've developed a lot more patience than myself. If one tree is busted, if one light is busted, it's going in the dump. I can't. No. I'm sorry. I had to go off on a little tangent there because it just, we have all these boxes out and nothing goes with anything. And I'm ready to burn everything is what I'm ready to do. Wish we had snow. No, you don't. No, you don't. Kahekili. Kong. I hope that's how you say your name. I was my one shot. And he says, or she, I don't know, because Kahekili, I've never heard of that name before. To me, it's gender neutral, just like Adalys is. If anybody, Adalys, what is that? Is it a boy name? Is it a girl name? Nobody knows. But if you're out there and you want to name your child, go for it. Adalys. Adalys. You can make it sound duty, like dude, D-U-D-E, dude, E, like, you know, manly, I guess. And the people that want snow are the people that haven't dealt with it. Because I'm going to tell you what, if you had to clean off the snow from your vehicle, one time is all it takes for you to be like, I'm tapping out. Let's move to Florida. Yeah, see, Elaine's all, like, you can have yours. People travel, of course. See? He's from Maui. I knew it. I knew it. You would say that. Up in Maui. Being all warm and whatnot. Yeah, you would say that. So anyway, Pat Lang is Samoan and he wants snow. What are you guys smoking? Like, honestly, obviously you've never dealt with snow. I can't. Am I grumpy? Yeah, a little bit. Just kind of in that mood. I mean, who would want snow? That's ridiculous. That's silly. Listen, but I welcome it. It looks pretty. I'll give it to that. Sometimes when you're inside and you've got like a hot cup of coffee or hot cocoa and the snow is coming down, I'm all about that life. It's pretty. But to have to deal with this, and it's November. It's November 12th, y'all. This is too early for snow. So we might have a white Christmas here, but I'm not going to know anything about it because guess who's going to Florida? This girl, because I don't want the snow. Y'all are going for Christmas to Utah and all these places with snow. I'm leaving this place. I want some warmth. I'm Puerto Rican. My skin can't handle this. I got to put Vaseline on it. Forget lotion. I got to put Vaseline. Vaseline. And it still doesn't help. Look at, even now. Devil is a liar. Okay, anyway, we are talking about how to live a godly life. Listen, thanks for tuning in. This is Dallas Podcast. I don't know if I said that. Maybe I did. I don't know. But we are talking about how to live a godly life because, listen, some of y'all are so good at trying to compartmentalize Christianity to the place where, you know, Christianity is kind of reserved for the home place and church, and then everything outside in your social life, people don't even recognize that you are even a believer because you blend in so well with the world. And we're not about that life here at Revival Today. I'm not about that life. I am no way close to being religious. Anybody who knows me and knows me outside of the screen and the pulpit, They can vouch for the fact that I am the furthest thing from religious, right? Because I don't like the we started talking about that before Jonathan came in on the broadcast about religion this morning, and how I despise it. I really it's like stronger than a hatred. It's despicable to me, that religious way of doing things. And the religious way of doing things is actually knowing the word of God and not having it affect you that where enough for it to, you know, transform you. And in order for that to transform you, it's going to affect every part of your life. It's not something that's just, you know, it's put in a folder and then you open it up every now and again when you feel like getting spiritual or stuff. It's not like Christianity. And I know lots of us have heard that Christianity is a lifestyle. We hear it like, oh, that it's not a religion. It's a lifestyle. Well, that's 100% accurate. Like if you're coming at Christianity and there's certain avenues or certain things in your life that he does not have full access to, then you're doing it. You're living this life, this Christian life religiously. He wants full access of your life. And that's where people really encounter the hiccups. That's where people encounter the frustration because in it, when you compartmentalize Christianity, you're actually now saying, okay, but I'm there's this part of my life, right, that I still want to engage in. So I feel like if I want to engage in this part of my life, it has to be done outside of the Christian content or the Christian context. So I'm going to find, let's say relationship wise, you feel like, well, I'm just, you know, I've had a past, sis. I've had a past and my past is now dictating to me how my future is, which I don't even get that. Like when did we, you know, keep looking back at our past to tell us where to go in the future. That's as moronic as you being in the driver's seat of a vehicle and looking back and hoping that it's going to take you to the final destination. Well, the final destination is in front of you. Why do you keep looking back to take you to a new place, to take you to a new destination? It's not, you're just going to get dizzy. You know, people, but that's what people do. People are constantly looking back as though looking back is going to somehow aid them in moving forward. It's not. It really isn't. You continue to look back, you're eventually going to head that way. And so this is why I feel like so many people feel so frustrated with their lives, because there's something in the past that maybe they've done. Maybe they had sex outside of marriage. Right, you had sexual relations with like three or four people in your past, and so you keep looking back and you're thinking like, well, because this is my past, like this is I have unqualified myself for getting a good Christian man or woman, so now I gotta do what I did in order to see this you know, part of my life continue to unravel. It's the only way that I know is to have, you know, sexual relationships, before, I married, so that I could really know who this person is. And it's like, what? No, but honest to God, that's like what some Christians believe. And some of you might be like, no, that's not a reality. It's 100% a reality. I actually preached a message about staying pure. And this is when I was first dating Jonathan newly engaged. I went to a youth group and I preached about living holy, living pure until the day that you're married. And I had a mother and daughter duo come to me and say, you can't put that on. You can't put that reality on people. Like, it's good for you to have sex outside of marriage. And then you can really try it out. So that you can try out all the, because what if you get married and you don't like it, you're unsatisfied. That's what these people, and she was a leader at the time, y'all. Yeah, she was a leader, Christian leader. You should try. And she was, of course, divorced. And you should try it. That's what I'm teaching my daughter. You know, you can't expect for people to live that way. Oh, I'm sorry. What? Listen, if the word says to abstain from sex before marriage, any sex outside of the confines of marriage, that's what the Bible says is called sin. If it's sin, that means it's, you know, it's not just, you know, sin in and of itself is not sin. God didn't call sin just because, you know what, I'm just going to make life miserable for you. So I'm just going to call everything that's fun and pleasurable sin. No, he called sin, because he knows that if you continue in that type of behavior, it will cut off God's blessing, God's greatness, in your life. I'm telling you, I've never, listen to me. I have never encountered somebody that was loose, in their teenage lives or like 20 or whatever, in even into the 30s, that, has had, like a good, strong marriage. And that's still living for the Lord. If both of them are still, not living for the Lord, I'm sorry. So it's like all of these, the world's way of doing things, they say like, oh, you're young, go and try everything out, you know, have sex with anything that moves. Literally, like this is like the reality. College, that's the time to experiment away. I've never encountered anybody that's had those types of experiments and is, you know, still living in the world that after they got married, that they're like thriving in that relationship. It just doesn't. They need Jesus, obviously. But even that like rationale, that way of thinking in the world, I'm saying, doesn't even, because they tell you, they say like experiment all you can, because then when you get married, that's it. It's one and done. And then, you know, you just, and you'll be so grateful for the experiences that you've had before, to take you into, you know, a lifetime with this person that you've like get married to. Well, I've never encountered somebody who has had that and has taken that and their marriage is strong and unified. And no, because they've experienced it and it's so messed them up that they can't even blend with the one person that they have decided to get married to. Like it's just like a killer. Obviously they need saved. But I'm saying that logic in the world has now trickled in to Christianity. And it's made Christians live this life where it's like, if I want to have a, you know, a pleasurable, happy life, I have to do things outside of the confines of Christianity because this is just a rule book and you can't have fun. Well, you are misguided. You are misled because there's nobody who has more fun in Christianity than the people here at Revival Today. And we keep it real. We're not religious, but we're not carnal either. We're not watching vile and degrading things. We're not talking about, you know, disgusting things, saying disgusting jokes. We're not about that life. Like there's a holiness that we keep, and convictions that we keep sacred to our lives and in our lives. And it's what helps us to still be effective in the world. You know, if your holiness is marked because you're sad and people, well, I'm praying. Like you're unapproachable. Well, I'm just holy. I'm not going to blend in. You know, Jesus was a friend to sinners. So there was something that attracted sinners to Jesus, but he never blended in. He was cool. He was funny. I'm sure he was like the life of the party, but he never blended in. And I'm not saying, listen, he's the life of the party. They invited him to the parties because he obviously had like a great personality. He wasn't the life of the party. He wasn't showing up getting drunk. Okay. But I'm saying like, even the heathens wanted him to come and, you know, hang out with him. So it's like if your mark of Christianity is that you are unapproachable and like, oh, he prays so much. Is he nice? No, he's such a jerk. I've heard that, like even great men and women of God, that they albeit they have like a fantastic ministry, but they're serious, man. That's why we cling to the people that we've clung to. Pastor Rodney, Pastor Adonica, they like to laugh. I like to laugh. And if you don't like to laugh, if you don't make me laugh in one conversation, like, God bless. See you later. That's the end of the relationship between you and I. And so I live a life and I continue to live a life where God is in every fiber of my life. So that I don't have to feel like, well, because I'm not at the standard in life, and that's what religion does. Religion will tell you, you're not there yet, sis. You're not there yet, brother. Do you remember the past? Let's look back here. You're not there yet. And so you have to do it your way. So my way, the only way that I can delve into a relationship is by sinning. By having sex outside of marriage, by, finding a guy outside of church, because of course I'm not going to be qualified to find some good godly man in church. What a lie. What a deception people have like fallen in. And this really is like a culmination of the, not just like relationships, but like every area in life, even finances. People will get all messed up about finances. And then, you know, they'll say, well, I've tithed and obviously, but I've done too much. You know what? I haven't done it enough times, or I'm not doing it right, or I'm not proclaiming it right. And all of these things, all of these processes where it's like this law, these rules and regulations come on you and you're like, oh, I'm just not doing it right. It zaps your energy from living a Christian godly life where you're like, I give up. healing. You know what? I give up. Obviously, I'm doing something wrong here. Obviously, I'm the problem, or I'm not doing enough. I'm not going to church enough. I'm not praying enough. I'm not fasting enough. I'm not doing this enough. And it's religion will, and then that kind of mentality just completely knocks you off the course, because you don't even want to do that anymore. It's like, forget it. I'm not going to believe in it. And if I don't believe that if God can't heal me, then I can't believe God for this area either, or that area either, and that area. And that's exactly what the devil would want to do with you. That's why when I've titled this message, How to Live a Godly Life, it's how to live anti that religious spirit that would tell you, you got to do it this way. Pray, fast. And if you don't do that, then you're not going to see the blessing. You know, God really does love you. And you know, he doesn't need you to feel like you're not good enough. In fact, like the Bible says, come boldly before the throne room of grace. So it's like you need to know that you are exactly who God's called you to be. When you got saved, maybe everything's not perfect. It's okay. It's okay if nothing is like perfect just yet. But it's a process. It's a process of sanctification. That means it's burning out the things that maybe aren't pleasing to the Lord. It's not maybe, it's that they're not pleasing to the Lord, but maybe you haven't seen them yet. Man, when I got married to Jonathan, there was this purification that began to happen on the inside of me, because and now I've been saved. I went to Bible school. I've married an evangelist. You'd think like, oh, you know, you're saved. You're in the ministry. Like, go get him, Billy Graham. No. See, there was things that I even had to work out within myself in that relationship that I thought, that's ugly. That doesn't look so good. We got to burn that. We got to, you know, this ideology of the way things have to be in the home, in the marriage home, like in marriage, where I have to usurp authority over. That's pride. And maybe it's ignorance, but I feel the pride there. And it's like all of these things are exposed. And could you imagine if I felt that, you know, that sensation of, man, you got to get rid of these things, and just turned it into this religious way of doing things where I'm like, you know what? I'll never be a good wife. I'm just going to get a divorce then, because marriage isn't for me. But yet that's how so many people live. It's like, oh, well, if this isn't something that I can overcome, then it's obviously not my cup of tea. So I'm just going to take a hike, and then boom. And so you leave and you do things your way. But then you know enough of God's word that when you delve into that kind of behavior, yeah, it still sucks. And you're like, dang it, man. Like, I can't even blend in with the way of doing it in the world, right? And so you mess up again in the world, but that same religious spirit will tell you, well, because you messed up, people are going to judge you, so you might as well do your own thing. You can't come back to the fold. You can't come back and do it this way. And it's a lie. It's a complete lie. And it all stems from not living a godly life, and by godly, I mean like a lifestyle that's pleasing to God, like completely sold out. And it's like every ounce of my being is yours. So whatever you don't like about me, and that's what the scriptures say, like, search my heart, God, like search the innermost thoughts of me, so that I, you know, anything that's not pleasing to you, burn it out of me. Pray those kinds of prayers every single day, and allow God to infiltrate your life, even if you think you're not perfect yet. You know, I was just at a women's conference. I won't say where. Colorado. But anyway, I was there, and it just was such a turnoff. Like, coming into an atmosphere of women, that's why, like, you know, I think that's why God wants me to do the radiance thing, and I'm revamping even the radiance thing up. But like, you know, I It just like you go in there and it's like everybody's got like this, like, you know, they just look, everything is perfect, right? Everything is perfect. Everything is geared for that perfect person who's in a, you know, married with, three kids, and they have the house, they have the cars, and they're just trying to figure out mommyhood and life. And, you know, when you're folding the laundry, just lift up one hand. And I'm like, to the average person that's living a life where there's not two parents in the home, and where they're struggling, like, where's the outlet for them? How are they going to feel in this setting? Like, would they feel like this is totally not me? I can't ever foresee myself living this life with the way that things are right now. You know, some people are looking at their lives and they're like, it's a mess. Forget about, like, you know, what's to come. I'm trying to collect the pieces of my broken life right now. And I don't forget, like, Starbucks and marriage. I got three kids in tow, you know, and I don't, there's no husband in the home. You know, I'm just trying to make a day go by where I'm not losing it, you know? And so I just thought, like, how would somebody that's totally not saved, how would they feel? And we always have to, you know, think about those things, believers. Think about those Christians that don't have it as easy as we do. People don't have a husband at home. People don't, they don't have a support system where they can call and say, can you pray with me? They don't have that. They're the only ones that are living this life. And even in them living this life, they're barely getting by because they don't know the word of God. It's like, you know, always, make Christianity something that's like easily afforded to everybody and doable. You know what I mean? And I left that meeting thinking, like, we got to do more for the unsaved woman or the woman that just got saved. I know I'm going on a tangent here, but just hear me out. You know, we got to do more for that person that has just gotten saved and doesn't have all her ducks in a row. You know, it's still pretty chaotic. No, you can do that. You can still live a Christian life, even ironing the wrinkles of your life, man. But it's going to take effort, and it's a process. It's a process of sanctification to just say, you know what? Everything that's in me, Lord, that doesn't seem right, that isn't pleasing to you, expose that in me, and I'm going to take care of it. And so, and that's what it takes to allow God to say, you know what? These thoughts in you about, you know, the world and you're attracted to the way they do things. You're attracted, you know, what you see on TV, it's affecting you. You got to get rid of that. You know, just put yourself in that position to hear God so that he can train you into, what you should be. For I know the thoughts I have towards you. God has thoughts for you about you. And it's thoughts to prosper you and never to harm you, to give you a hope and a future. And too many of us think that God's thoughts towards us is to just snuff us out because we're not living perfect lives, you know, and that's not the case. So the number one thing you have to do in order to live godly is to renew your mind. Listen, most of y'all get attacked on the daily. Most of y'all want to do things the way the world does because you're following all these people online and they're doing like meditation and heavy breathing and yoga and all this kind of stuff. And it's affecting how you even, your Christianity, because they're doing things, the power of the mind, stones, put it on your third eye and just, you know, it's nonsense. And you follow it because somehow we innately want to do things that go, and buffet our bodies, because we think somehow that's going to draw us closer to God, when really all you have to do is believe the word of God. He made it easy for us. And so many of us want to complicate the word of God, that in complicating the word of God, it actually is making you live the way the world system is going. And so I want to read you Romans 12:2, Avi. And I want to read it in two translations. It says, don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person. Here it is. See, like for me, I know there's certain elements that, you know, I can't, like my closest people, they're good, godly people. I can't keep close to people that are carnal and they're not spiritual. They're not full of the Holy Ghost. That's not who I'm keeping close. I'll keep them at bay. I'm not shunning everybody out. You know, I've even heard some people say, well, what happens when your family or your friends, they're not saved? What do you do? And they don't really understand. Just part ways with them and cut them off. So you're telling me to cut my mom and dad off because they're not saved? That's a silly way of looking at things. You're there to be the light. You're there to let them in. But there's certain things, obviously, in their behavior where if they begin to drink, you're going to be, excuse yourself. Where if they begin to say vile and disgusting things, you excuse yourself. You set the precedent. But when I'm here, I'm not going to just sit here and just like, you know, be awkward about things. No, I'm going to set the standard. And it's not to make you feel bad. It's because I got to guard my heart. I got to guard my spirit. So I'm not going to just flow with the way you do things. I'm also not going to shun you out because I love you too much to just block you out. And unfortunately, some people will get offended and that'll happen naturally. But it's not for you to just be like, cut everybody off. No, you love them. They're your family. You gotta extend grace towards them because sinners sin. Oh, don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. You got to change the way you think. If the word of God is not on the inside of you, that it's not like, you know, you've got these carnal thoughts about wanting to do things and you don't, you feel like you don't have the power to say no to these people, you need to get in the word. Because I can tell you, once you get enough word content in there, you don't even have to like sweat about it. You don't have to, it's not something that is even something that you would consider. And the considering things, the considering process starts in your mind. And the only way that you can change your mind is to read the word. Let God transform you into the new person by changing the way you think. You can't be this person, this godly person, without first him changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good, pleasing, and perfect. So this is the number one step, y'all, in developing that process of becoming a good, godly man or woman, is to know, wait a minute, this first starts in my mind so that it can transform everything around me, right? And so this is what the Message Bible says. So here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life. This is where religion kills this from believers, okay? Because religion will say this is only for this amount of time. It's not for everything in your life. No, it's just for what you think is acceptable, what you in your mind and opinion, what you think is considered, you know, this Christian and godly bubble, right? It's not for anything else. No, it says consider or take everyday ordinary life. You're sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around in life, and place it before God as an offering. Think about that. You're sleeping, just an ordinary life. We're not talking about like the call that God has placed on your life, the ministry that he's laid on your, the vision, the goal. No, we're talking about your ordinary life. Just your day to day, you're sleeping, you're eating, going to work, walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. And that's where people are like, just, I can't live up to this standard and I just don't know. And he's just saying, just embrace what I did for you. And it actually is the best thing you can do for me is identifying who you are, that I've told you who you are, that you're free from addiction, that you're free, from struggle, that you're free from oppression, that you're beautiful. You're created in my image, that I fearfully and wonderfully made you. You don't have to have insecurity. You don't have to have fear. All you got to do is embrace that. And in doing that, you actually do it unto me. It's the best thing you can do for me. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture, boom, that you fit into it without even thinking. That you fit into culture without even thinking about it. And that's where the break happens. That's where all of a sudden, it's like the Christian thing, the Christian way of doing things, it's severed because you don't even know that you're blending into the culture where it's like you're living for, you know, the world's way of doing things, and you don't even know it. It's just part of who you are. Instead, and this is how to fix it. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. Readily recognize what he, and so that might be different for everybody. Recognizing what he wants from you is different from what he wants from me. It's going to change, and it's always changing. Even the way our faith works, it's ever on the increase. And when it's ever on the, to whom much is given, much more is required. And so my Christian walk does not look like it did 15 years ago. It's totally different. I remember the first time I did my 3-day water fast, it was in Bible school, and I thought I was dying. Like, I thought I was like, take me to heaven, Lord. And now I can do it with ease. It's not something that I have to think about. It's not something that I have to like conjure, lock myself up and just, you know, put sackcloth and ashes and just like, you know, mourn. It's something that it's just part of what I do. It's part of my life. And so even that I've seen like an increase in that, but he's going to adjust it depending on where you're at. So readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. That's the Message Bible. So that's the first thing, is to renew your mind. And when you renew your mind, you're actually saying no to the world's way of doing things because it's God's way of doing it. Now I'm going to structure my life the way God wants me to do it. And then, the second one is quit being carnal. Let's see what 1 Corinthians has to say about that in the Message. 1 Corinthians. Okay, it says here. I had to sneeze. Okay. But for right now, friends, I'm completely frustrated by your unspiritual dealings with each other and with God. You're acting like infants in relation to Christ, capable of nothing much more than nursing at the breast. Well, then I'll nurse you, since you don't seem capable of anything more. As long as you grab for what makes you feel good or makes you look important, are you really much more different than a babe at the breast, content only when everything's going your way? When one of you says, I'm on Paul's side, and another says, I'm on Apollo's side, aren't you being totally infantile? Listen, this is a good way of looking at it. Mama likes. So it says, as long as you grab for what makes you feel good or makes you look important, that's like what carnality is. That's what being carnal is. It's what makes you feel good. It's what makes you look important. And there's too many Christians out there that are living for that life. They're living for carnality. living for what did they say here? What makes you feel good and what makes you look good. If that's what your Christianity is, if that's all that matters to you, you're carnal. If all that matters to you is looking good to the point where it's like, well, I don't look good, so I'm not a Christian because I don't want it to seem like, you know, all of these things that you know, have been happening in my life. How are the Christians going to think of me? How am I going to like stand in front of Christians and believers when, you know, my life isn't, what it should be? Like I've said in my life that I'm a Christian, and now look, I have a child outside of marriage. I just got pregnant with some guy. How is that going to make me seem? How is that going to make me look? And if what you see yourself as is more important than getting back into the body of Christ, if you're giving God the finger because you no longer fit that mold of what a Christian should be, and then have the audacity to blame other people about it. Well, it's because y'all don't accept me for who I am. It's not about accepting you for who you are. It's accepting the fact that this is a process and that you missed it somewhere. It's okay, but come back to the fold and get things right with the Lord. But so many people in their carnality will say, you know what, I messed up. But go for all the Christians that want to go and make mention of what I've done. And see, you care way too much about what people think, honey. Way too much. And that's the number one thing. See, people think like being carnal is like, you know, I don't know, like listening to you know, worldly music. You know, listen, I'm not for worldly music. Do I listen to Michael Bolton every now and again? Yes. He has some wonderful love songs. Do I listen to what's his name? It's the Spanish guy. It'll come to me. Bad Bunny, no. He doesn't write love songs, Rom. No, he's old school. He's an old school guy. He's like the Mexican Frank Sinatra. Let me see. Mexican Frank Sinatra. You know what? If Merari was here, she would know who I'm talking about. But we've likened this carnality to be something that's like, oh, it's just like the world's way of doing things. Oh, listening to music and, oh, that's bad. Or, you know, having friends that can laugh at the jokes that you think are funny, or watching The Office. That's carnal. We don't want to do. See, we've compartmentalized like this kind of stuff. And it's like, you know, that's not even what it's about. Carnality is what makes you, you consider more precious what you look like on the outside and what people are gonna see you as, instead of you walking this out with God. That's carnality. Juan Gabriel, thank you. Jessica Turcios. It's like you resolved a note in my brain. Juan Gabriel, so he's gay. Like he never came out and said he's gay, but y'all know, if anybody know Juan Gabriel, you know he's, but man, the man could write a love song or two. Yeah, I'm going to listen to him every now and again. Of course. Marco Antonio Solis? Of course. How dare you say that I'm not going to listen to Marco Antonio Solis? I mean, if you ever translate the words for some of his love songs, you'd be like, what? You've unlocked another level of intimacy and love, sir. Hot dog. And their voices are just... Listen, I'm not going there, but I'm just saying. And the religious spirit will even say, this is what carnality looks like. Oh, you want to pair those heels up with those jeans? Mm-hmm, that's carnal. It's like, no. Carnality is, and even the religious people have missed this. Carnality is thinking of yourself more than what, you know, the word of God is. You know what? It matters to me. That how people see me, so I can't. They're not going to accept me. You know what that is? Living a life of carnality. I can't go into that church because people are just going to judge me. And okay, so I have a baby, you know, and I'm not married. People are just going to judge me. And they're whatever. It's that matters to you more than making it right with the Lord. I feel bad for you, son. And that's what I'm saying. You don't have to live that way. You don't got to live that way. Brothers and sisters, I couldn't address you as people who live by the Spirit, but as people who are still worldly. Another way of looking at it. Mere infants in Christ. You're still worldly. What you feel trumps what you know. Oh yeah, I know I believe this. I know the Word of God says sex outside of marriage is not okay, but dang, it was hot and heavy in that car. And it just, that matters to you more than living a godly life, then you're living a carnal life, then it's carnality. And you can't ever expect to grow. In fact, he calls them babies. You're no better than someone at the breast of their mother. You can't reason with these children. Okay? And so, and it actually says, for since there's jealousy and quarreling among you, another thing about being worldly, if you're jealous about people, well, I don't even know why she's that. It's carnal. You're living a carnal life. And in fact, when you become jealous, and some people even do it like not even, oh, I can't believe that a man of God would say that. We had like this whole thing a little bit ago. Somebody had made a comment to Jonathan and I like, you know, I just said something and then it just opened up this whole thing about like our team just going on the attack for our beloved Rom. And someone wrote on there, I can't believe that a man of God would say that. And it's because, and you see that it's because they think that being a man of God or a woman of God, it disqualifies you from having an opinion. A strong opinion. It disqualifies from having a strong voice, right? Because only the people in the world would comment on that and say somebody's stupid. Listen, when someone's acting stupid, I don't feel like that's a bad thing for you to say. You're acting stupid. That doesn't make me carnal. I'm just reading the book. I'm just reading however I see fit. And so it's that type of mentality that says, oh, you can't say that. You can't say suck. You can't say shut up. You can't say freaking. And it's like, well, that's what, you know, that's how I feel. You know, that's how I talk. And God can use me through that. Do you know what I mean? And it's those same types of people. I'm so shook. I can't even, how dare you? How dare you think that you can do? No, God is in everything. And so if he's in everything, he's backing me up with me calling you dumb because you're acting dumb. And that's not carnal. That's just me saying, you're acting dumb. You're acting like an idiot. And see, like, it's just that compartmentalization, people, that you think like, he can only go so far. Even though I'm thinking those thoughts, okay? Even though I've said way worse than that. I'm going to go and be, you know, start a quarrel somewhere and start this and start that and be jealous about this and live for how I feel and the way that I people perceive me. I'm going to put that before the Word of God. That's carnality. So quit doing it. Number three, living for God. 2 Corinthians. Oh, there it is. 2 Corinthians 3:2. And I'm going to read this from the Message. Why do we live for God? And this isn't even like what I wanted to say. It's not even live for God. It's to just live this kind of life. That there's no like, you know, you might not be perfect, but don't give up just because you're not there yet. You don't just like, you know, throw out the baby with the bathwater. You just say, you know what? I'm a work in progress. And we've declared that here all the time. Listen, I know what a Proverbs 31 woman looks like, but I ain't there yet. It's a work in progress. You know what I mean? And I don't feel bad about that. I don't feel convicted that I don't have every detail perfectly done in my life. I'm not there yet. I'm not a perfect person. I'm definitely not. There's lots of things that I could be better at, but I'm not, you know, gonna let that disqualify me from living a good godly life. No way. I just pushed through. I'm like, you know what, God? You've exposed me. I'm not right here. I need some help here. Come in. And you know what? That's what the religion will do is you're exposed to something that needs changed, but you don't open your heart to God, and you don't allow him to come in. You just say, well, this is just a part of who I am. So if you don't like it, no, God wants to go in there and change it, so that you can be molded in the way he has, you know, created you to live a life. And that's pride too, man. Pride. Get rid of the pride, because it's once you realize, man, I gotta be guided. I gotta be, you know, in this. You need to take the lead, Lord. I can't figure this out on myself. I'm seeing these things that I don't really know. And the Holy Ghost will tell you. Holy Ghost will 100% bring it to your attention. But what are you going to do with that information? Are you going to like hide it? Are you going to not allow God to come in? 2 Corinthians 3:2. Dude, I don't even know what the where number two starts, to be quite honest with you, because the Message Bible doesn't even break it up by verses. So I'll just read 1-3. Does it sound like we're patting ourselves on the back, insisting on our credentials, asserting our authority? Well, we're not. Neither do we need letters of endorsement either to you or from you. You yourselves are all the endorsements we need. Your very lives are a letter that anyone can read by just looking at you. Christ himself wrote it, not with ink, but with God's living spirit, not chiseled into stone, but carved into human lives, and we publish it. You yourselves are all the endorsement we need. Your very lives are a letter that anyone can read by just looking at you. Your very life is a letter that anyone can read by just looking at you. That's why, and I'm not saying this to pat myself on the back. That's why people like to be around me. That's why people like to be around my sister and my husband. I'm talking about sinners. I'm talking about people that don't even know it, but yes, even in the body of Christ. But I'm saying, like, you know, there's a broad spectrum of people that just like, because my life is a letter that everybody can read. And I'm not just kind of like, oh yeah, I'm a Christian. You know, that's not something that people are going to be like shocked about. It's like, what? You're a Christian? Are you kidding me? No, it's a letter that anybody can read by just looking at you. Christ himself wrote it, and not with ink, but with God's living spirit, not chiseled into stone, but carved into human lives, and we publish it. So we publish that living spirit, not chiseled in stone, but carved into human's life. We get to be the embodiment of what Christ's spirit is. What a privilege. How fun is that? And if you've thought that it's going to be something that's like too hard, I can't live up to that standard. Well, you're wrong. Don't allow that religious spirit to choke it out of you, because you can. All things are possible. All things are possible to him who believes. So that's what you got to understand in this walk of being godly, how to live godly. You don't ever allow yourself to say, well, I'm not there yet, so I can't do that. Or I'm not there yet because I can't. That's like the epitome of what a religious spirit would tell you to do. And I'm saying those people that are still in the carnal work in this. People that have just maybe been saved and you still have that carnality on the inside of you. God's purifying you. He's burning it all out. Don't ever allow the devil to say, well, just because you're not, or just, you know, you're, it's not, this isn't perfectly in place in your life. So this, you know, this isn't for you. You might as well do it your way. Don't do that. Just allow him to say, or to infiltrate and say, you know what? I don't have it here. I know that, and you know what? There's a lot of people that, because they don't have it there, they despise that in somebody else. and they'll make it, they'll give you a hard time for it. Even in the body of Christ, they'll be like, oh, so you think you're better than everybody? No, it's just a process. It's a learning process. And I'm actually being a person that's going to allow myself to be teachable and moldable to the word of God. Unlike you, who says like, I can't do it, so I'm not going to do it. It's like, who told you you can't do it? Who said that you couldn't do that? Who said that you couldn't be in a relationship with that person, a Christian, a believer? Who said that you couldn't, stay pure until the day of marriage? Who said that? It was the devil, and he's trying to get you to veer off the course that God has for you, and you're silly enough to fall prey to it instead of standing up and pushing up against it and saying, no, I'm not doing that. You know what? God is going to enable me to live this life of godliness, of purity, and of holiness. And I might not be 100% where I should be, but I'm not where I was. At least I have the notion and the knowledge that I'm not living right. And I'm going to stick with it. I'm going to do what I can to make this my life fit into the word of God. Don't try to take the word of God and make it fit into the lifestyle that you want in your life. Whatever. Don't make the word of God fit your standard. Have your standard be raised to what God's standards are, what God's way of life is. And he's telling you, you can live perfect as I am perfect. You can live free. You can live holy. You can live blessed. You can live in the abundance. You don't ever have to lack another day. You don't ever have to want another day in your life. If you want that relationship, you can have it. If you want that way of lifestyle, of a life, that you can have that. If you want peace, you can have that. And anything that tells you you can't have God's promise, you can bank it that it's absolutely 100% the devil. It's that religious spirit trying to tell you, you don't have it all right. Even your healing, you know what? You could be praying a lot more. No, I receive it by faith now. I don't have to do anything for it. That means all I have to do is just simply believe that I have it and it's mine. Yeah, yes. It's the same faith that you use in your salvation. Could you work for that salvation? Absolutely not. It was a free gift, just like Jesus was a free gift given to all by God the Father, a free gift because of his love and compassion towards us. And that free gift enabled us to have freedom from every oppression of the devil. Sickness, disease, poverty, all of that is just freely done away with through Jesus, through the blood of Jesus. And all we have to do is say, yes, I receive it. And it's as easy as that. Only freaking religion would tell you that you got to do things this way. If you're not there, you know what? You got to be in it 15 years if you want to preach the word. You got to go to Bible school for 8 years to preach the word of God. No, there's be sensitive to what the Holy Spirit is telling you, ladies and gentlemen. Don't make this this long religious thing. It doesn't have to be that way. Exactly. See, people's standards are all different. And if you're going to be a naysayer about that person that has a higher standard of living, shame on you. And if you're going to have a higher standard of living and shame somebody who doesn't have the same standards as you, shame on you too. It goes both ways. We should all, we have to do everything in our power to make sure that those that are around us that need help, that they feel love. It's not time to exclude them and banish them from your life. Show them the love and compassion and mercy of God. I don't care what anybody has done. It's not good enough for them to live a life separated by God. If they die and never made it to heaven, that should motivate you to just be like, bleh. I'm going to put my stuff aside. We got to make sure that this person comes back to the fold. We got to make sure that they're feeling loved, that they're not feeling like they can't do it. We got to sit down and talk with them. We got to make sure that we love on them. I don't know why I'm going on this tangent, but maybe it's because of Kanye. I don't know. Can't tell you. But I'm just saying, this is going to help somebody out. How to live a godly life. Live in God's standard. How to live the way God wants you to live. That should be another title for this. God's standard of living. What is it? these things. So anyway, if you haven't checked out the Mighty Series, I want to encourage everybody to check it out, the live, themightyseries.com. And we are have now launched a brand new website there. That's the Mighty Series is a children's website. It's not a children's website, but it's geared for children's ministry, for books, parenting advice, a 24-hour kids radio station. So go and check it out. And there's a subscription box for your email. Subscribe to our email list and you'll see brand new content, the promotions, everything. We will send it to you. You'll be the first to hear about the next step of Mighty Series or a brand new content that is going to be published to the website. So all you got to do is do the mightyseries.com and hit join. Email. Give your email and join it. So those are the three simple things that you have to do. Renew your mind. Quit being carnal. Who cares about what people think? You know what? I don't care. I'm doing this unto God. I don't care if you think that I'm not where I should be. I don't care. I'm living for God. I'm doing things because this is going to be pleasing to God. I might not be where I should be, but just give me some time. I'm working out the kinks. And then living a life faithfully to the word of the Lord, because you are his billboard and he wants every part of you. He doesn't want just some of it. He wants all of it. Even if you're dropping F-bombs, I'm serious. He'll give you a pow-pow in the mouth every now and again and say, don't say it that way, man. Don't. But it's just like anybody that you're training. Sometimes they're going to mess up, but that's okay. Just get back on. Get back on the horse, so to speak. It's not to shun you out. Oh man, you messed up. You're horrible. Get out. We're not saying that. Jesus isn't saying that. He's saying, listen, I want every part of you, even those parts where you think, eek, you don't want to go in there. He's saying, yeah, I want to get in there. I want to get in there. Let me mold you and make you who I want you to be. Watch. Just do it my way and don't give up so easily. Don't think that you know, things have to be a certain way in order for me to bless you. I'm taking it case by case. I want you. I want your heart. I want every part of who you are. And don't you compartmentalize me. That's all I have to say. Stay tuned, themightyseries.com. And if you haven't subscribed to our podcast, what the heck are you waiting for? Subscribe, share this, let us know that you're watching. And follow us on Instagram. And if you have any questions at all, go to revivaltoday.com/Adalis, right? Is it Adalis or Ask Adalis? Just Adalis. revivaltoday.com/Adalis. And then there's an email, like you can email us questions or go to Adalis Shuttlesworth on Instagram page. And you can ask me whatever you will. If there's a topic that you want me to cover, me and Mags. Mags has been on a little bit of a hiatus today because she stayed in with the kids. Good. She took a mommy day off. Huh? So go to Adalis Shuttlesworth on Instagram and follow us on the Mighty Series Instagram as well. Okay. Love you. See ya.
Hey, this is Jonathan Shuttlesworth. I want to thank you for listening to my podcast, or if you're listening to my wife's, thank you on her behalf. If you want to be more than just a casual listener and stand with us as we take the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ to our generation, go to revivaltoday.com and click Give Now and be a part of the 1,000 monthly partners that we're believing for. I have a special gift that I'll send to you today, and I'll say thank you in advance. Until next time, thanks for listening. See you later.